This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilman rabbal alameen. Allahumma inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Amma ba'd. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla Amin to rectify and purify our intention and to grant us the best of intentions in all of our lives and in ways that please Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and especially in this gathering, for this halaqa, for this book, for this project, bi'idhnillah Azza wa Jalla. I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make what we say pleasing to Him and that we derive maximum benefit from it, and that it makes it, that Allah would make it testimony for us on the Day of Judgment that we have heard, we understood, and we have applied, and we've taught what we have learned, bi'idhnillah Azza wa Jal. Hadith number 23, and we are still in the section, in the last section, which is about loving creation. And this hadith is an important one, even though it's one that all of us, I'm guessing, must know. But this hadith is profound when you kind of dissect it and understand it and its parts and then its totality. Here, and it's reported by Muslim that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam qal, he said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَا تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا أَفَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ أَفْشُوا السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. So he said, alayhi salatu wassalam, I swear by the one who has my soul in his hand, you will not enter Jannah. Jazakallah khair. You will not enter Jannah until you have iman. And you will not have iman until you love each other. Shall I not tell you about something that if you do, you will love each other, spread salam among you. Right? So we probably have heard that hadith before, right? And what I want us to realize immediately is how the Prophet ﷺ makes, through this hadith, love a necessity. We've been talking about this. This is a point that we've been repeating and we've been harping on continuously, which is love and Islam are connected. You can't really have one without the other. You can't have Islam without love, and you really cannot have sound, healthy, fulfilling love without Islam, without the guidance of Allah Azza wa Jal telling you what and how, what to love and how to love. So in this one, the Prophet ﷺ links iman to love and Jannah to iman. So the first is based on the second. So the second is a condition for the first, and the third is a condition for the second. So, Jannah, Iman, love, right? So you will not enter Jannah until you have Iman, and you'll not have Iman until you love each other. So if you don't have the second, you won't have the first. If you don't have the third, you don't have the second, which means that if you don't have the third, you don't have the first. Does that make sense? Right? Do you see the connection? So you will not enter Jannah until you have Iman, and you will not have Iman until you love each other. So I can say, if I remove the Iman that is in the middle, if it's understood, you will not enter Jannah until you love each other. Would that be accurate? Would be an accurate statement, right? So, and that would be the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, because without love for each other, we would not have Iman, and if we don't have Iman, then we would not have Jannah. So subhanAllah, if you put it in that way, if you abbreviate it and you say, the Prophet ﷺ is saying that if you don't love each other, then you will not enter Jannah, it will tell you how important love is and how important loving each other is. And it should be enough confirmation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that from us. And He wants us, in order to pursue Iman, in order to pursue His pleasure and enter Jannah, He wants us to strive until we love each other. Because that may not be a given. That may not be what is common. But you need to push yourself and you need to do things. That's why he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, let me tell you about a thing that if you do, you'll accomplish that love. Because you may not have it yet. Either you don't have the ability or you don't have it with that particular person. So how are you going to develop it? Salam is one key way of developing that love. And we have to understand also that we need this hadith not only to understand iman in full and also to understand love in full, but we need this hadith because there is a deficiency of love between Muslims. And that is, where does that come from? Deficiency in iman. Because if our iman was good, sound, then our love will be there. We will love each other. But when you see that, especially when tribalism, regionalism, nationalism rears its ugly head, and whenever there is a conflict between Muslims, friction between Muslims, you find them dividing based on regions, based on nationality, based on color, based on gender, based on this. So I love those who are closest to me, biologically, physically, linguistically, culturally, but none of these things are iman. None of these things are in themselves pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, on the one hand, it's natural for you to have a natural affinity towards those who look like you and talk like you and eat the same things as you. But this is dunya. If you simply only love and hate based on that, then that is simply deficiency in iman. And we even can say that if you rise against a people based on these principles, that is jahiliyyah. Like if I love only based on color, based on language, based on food, based on region, based on nationality, that is jahiliyyah. And if someone fights for the sake of these things, that is a jahiliyyah fight. They die like that, that is a jahiliyyah death. So the hadith is telling you that as Muslims, we need to develop this love, but this love only comes through the development of iman. And iman only comes when the pursuit of Jannah is our highest goal and pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our project in life. That's the thing that really pleases us. So if there is no love, there is no Jannah. You understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if this is what He wants from us according to the hadith, He had put us on earth to develop this love, to discover it, to perfect it, to earn it, despite the tests and obstacles. That Allah Azza wa Jal put us on this earth to love and be loved. Right? And that would not be an exaggeration, that one of the reasons why you're on this earth is to experience love. Ultimately, it's the love of Allah Azza wa Jal that you want to experience. Right? When Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, if you remember, go back to when we first introduced this ayah. I've only created humanity and the jinn for the sake of what? Said, my worship, so that they would worship me. And if you remember how we explained that worship, it is surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, complete surrender based on complete love. So the one with the greater iman is the one who loves Allah more. That's it. The better worshiper of Allah, the better abid of Allah, the best ibadah of Allah is the one that has more love in it. So Allah wants you to experience this love, to know what it is, and Allah wants to love you back. And He also wants you to love the believers and for them to love you back. Because this is not simply a command for you to love the believers, they're also commanded to love you and to strive to love you and do their best so that they would love you. So you're having here a command from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. You as a community, you as the ummah, you have to experience this love. You have to live this love. You have to develop it. And it's a litmus test for iman. Right? If the iman of the ummah is profound, they will have more of it. And if the iman of the ummah is lacking, then you'll find that the first sign of trouble, they'll turn against each other. based on like the divisions that we talked about. So there's a hadith in the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and it tells you how important love is in addition to the ayah that I just quoted. He said, إِنَّ أَوْثَقَ عُرَى الْإِسْلَامِ أَن تُحِبَّ فِي اللَّهِ وَتُبْغِضَ فِي اللَّهِ. He said alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, the firmest of knots means obligation, because when you tie a knot, it's something that is firm, right? Something that is solid, something that is strong. So that denotes obligations. He says, the firmest of obligations in Islam is that you will love for the sake of Allah and you would hate for the sake of Allah. And he said also in another hadith, alayhi salatu wasalam, من أحب لله وأبغض لله وأعطى لله ومنع لله فقد استكمل الإيمان. He says, if someone loves for Allah's sake and he hates for Allah's sake and he gives for Allah's sake and he withholds for Allah's sake, he has completed Iman. So that hadith, the second hadith, is talking about movement of the heart and movement of the body, internal and external movement. So this person that the Prophet ﷺ is describing, he says, internally, he or she, they move because of Allah. And externally, they move because of Allah. So internally, what is this movement? Love and hate. So what do they love? They see and wait to see what Allah loves and they love it. And what Allah hates and they hate it. So they don't go by their own emotions and their own desires and their own dislikes and personal likes and dislikes. But they consider what is pleasing to Allah and who is pleasing to Allah and they love. And what is displeasing to Allah and who is and they hate. That's the internal movement. And if you have an internal movement, it must have and must be reflected in an external movement, right? Because if you hate something, it has to show. It has to be manifest, physically manifest. So now he says when he gives for Allah. Not based on personal preference. He's my buddy, he's my friend, we speak the same language, I like him more. So I give him more. Now they give for Allah's sake, and when they withhold, they see when Allah wants them to withhold, where Allah wants them to withhold, and they withhold, despite their own personal preferences. So this is how they move. And I kind of make a quick note here in the book about that issue here of hate. Because some people kind of could be perplexed by it, alarmed by it. What are you telling us, that we should hate for Allah's sake? Isn't hate opposite to love? Isn't hate opposite to religion? We say, everyone has to hate something, isn't it? Can you love everything? Can you? Even personally, can you love everything? That's impossible. And if you love something, you have to hate its opposite, right? So I can name you a few things. I'm not going to try, but I can name a few things. I'll tell you, won't you hate this? Won't you hate that? Terrible acts. You say, of course I hate this, and that. So you can't survive based on love alone, because if you love a thing and it's opposite, they contradict each other. It means that you don't love anything, right? Like if I love honesty and deception, what do I love? It can happen. Either you love this or you love that. So if you love something, the opposite has to be hated. So here, Allah Azza wa Jalla liberates you from your own personal hate, unrestrained hate, unethical hate, to tell you, since you're going to hate anyway, hate for my sake the way that I'm asking you to hate. Right? Because otherwise, you're going to hate everybody. I can hate you because we have different colors. I'd have to hate you because we have different countries, different ethnicities, blood feud. Personally, I just simply don't like you. And if I don't like you based on my personal reasons, then the circle of hate expands, right? Because the human being by nature is what? Selfish and ignorant, right? There's injustice in them and there's ignorance. So if you tell a person, hate whomever you want without any oversight, they'll hate everyone except themselves and people who look like them. So the circle of hate is big. And do whatever you want with your hate. No one is going to regulate it. Then they can do the worst of things to the people that they hate. With me, right? Allah Azza wa Jal said, no. If you want to hate, hate according to what I hate. It's not your own personal preferences. Only these for things that they have done against me, not you. And even when you hate, you have to be ethical and you have to be just. Right? And do it the way that I command you to do, not based on vengeance and not based on selfishness and not based on a desire for dominance. No, based on what I'm telling you to do. Stop when I tell you to stop. So in fact, when you submit in love and in hate to Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah regulates and sublimates those emotions. But when you forsake Allah's guidance, they turned out to be destructive. So that's the kind of a quick note that I wanted just to simply comment on the issue of love and hate. So when we love for Allah's sake and we hate for Allah's sake, we surrender to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala so that He rescues us from our own destructive inclinations and emotions. Now the problem, of course, we said, what is the problem with hate? Okay. Or what is the problem with failing to adhere to the advice in the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? If we don't love for Muslims, or if we don't love each other, what is the problem with that? If there is weakness in that love, what does it lead to? Or what is it saying about us? The first thing that it's saying about us is that there is weakness in loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we don't love each other as believers, as people of faith, then that tells us that our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is itself weak because it's failing to produce love towards the believers. Otherwise, if we loved each other, like the Sahaba of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they loved each other, then you will understand that their iman is the thing that moved them to produce that type of love. So why is it problematic? Because our love for Allah itself is weak. Because if you love Allah, you must love whomever and whatever Allah loves, right? So if you find yourself not wishing for the believers what you wish for yourself, not loving them as you love yourself, not loving them or exchanging love with them, it tells you that the motivator for that love, which is the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, is in itself absent or very weak. You know, every believing man and woman, as long as they are Muslim, they must have at least a little bit of a tiny love for Allah and the Prophet that makes them Muslim. That could save us from hellfire, eternity in hellfire. But if the love of Allah is weak, and as a consequence, the love for the believers is weak, and that is an indicator of a weak iman, then it tells you that on the day of judgment, as he said, you will not enter Jannah. And what does it mean you will not enter Jannah? It means that you may have to enter hellfire first. Because that's what the hadith is saying. You will not enter Jannah until you have iman. You'll not have iman until you love each other. So what are you saying, O Prophet of Allah, alaykum as-salatu wasalam? What are you saying that? What does it mean that you'll not enter Jannah? It means that you may enter hellfire first as a punishment. Because your love that the love that you have for Allah is weak and for the believers is weak. Or that you may have to be deprived of the highest ranks in Jannah. You will not enter Jannah, meaning the highest levels will not be yours. The lowest levels, if you enter without previous punishment. So you're being deprived, either immediate entry to Jannah, or punishment in hellfire, or the highest degrees. Because there is something that is missing. So that's the first problem. The second problem is that when there's weakness in loving Muslims, society itself is damaged because of it. You know, how could a society thrive and prosper? How could it have solidarity? How could it support each other when people hate each other? Right? At the drop of a hat, you could have Muslims, right? At the first sign of a problem, you're from here and I'm from there. I'm from this community and you're from that community. And even within the same community, they're divided as well. We are from this region, you're from that region. We speak this way, you speak that way. I love those people more than those people. So you find these fragmentations and the whispers of the shaitan dividing Muslims so that a common denominator between them is not Islam and the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, but the love of the self and the love of the tribe, no matter what you name that tribe. It could be the nation, it could be a color, it could be anything else, but it when it gains a primacy over higher importance than Islam, they were not loving each other, then the bond of Islam is weak, society itself is weak, the ummah is weak, the community is weak. So when you don't have it, you are weak. And if you are a weak ummah, you understand what the consequences are. Allah Azza wa Jal also, another problem with this is that if we don't love each other, we will morally be deprived. Not only socially, right, we will suffer, but even individually, we will be deprived. We will be lacking in character. Because if I don't love you, how will I respect you? How will I honor you? How will I forgive you? How will I wish the best for you? How will I develop forgiveness and patience if I don't like you? And I'm not willing to strive to try to like you. Our morality, how does our morality develop? In solitude or through interaction? Because on your own, you can imagine that you are the most pious and the most patient and the most forgiving person. And you can think and praise yourself as such. You'll only discover what type of person you are when you're tested. And when do you get tested? When you interact with other people. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً أَتَصْبِرُونَ. And we made some of you a test for others. Will you be patient? To see who will be patient. So your patience cannot develop until you're tested with the company of other people. And you will not learn what forgiveness is and excel in forgiveness until somebody wrongs you. And then you're able to forgive or not will show itself. And you will not be able to develop the love that Allah wants from you until what? You have people who will test that love and you still decide to love them for Allah's sake, to forgive them for Allah's sake, to develop love for people even if they're not striving in that direction, but you strive. Then morality will develop, ethics will develop, then the sharia itself will develop. And the problem also when you don't love people is that your application of Islam will suffer. Your application of Islam itself will suffer. So you understand, we have to interact with other people, right? It's a must. You cannot isolate yourself on top of a mountain. طيب, the sharia comes down to do what? To regulate, part of what it does, to regulate that interaction so that it maximizes benefits, minimizes harm or eliminates it, and directs society towards Allah Azza wa Jal. And in the process, it tells you, you have to do this and you have to do that. Refrain from this, and that's an obligation on you. And it's all based on connections that you have with people. So you have rights for the neighbors, right? Rights for parents, rights for children, rights for the strangers, rights for the elder, for those who are older, those rights for those who are younger, rights for people who are in authority, rights for people who are under your authority. All of these are guided interactions in the sharia. If you don't love people, how will you observe their rights? How will you protect them? How will you observe the command of Allah Azza wa Jal if you hate people? How will you be able to stand in salah with other people, give zakah? How will you be able to go to hajj? How will you be able to give salam to them if you don't like them, as the Prophet ﷺ is commanding us to do in that hadith? You won't be able to. So the application of itself, Islam itself suffers. Even if you are okay with Allah Azza wa Jal, but the rest of the sharia will suffer because you don't love people. So it means that on many and different fronts, failing to do this is a failure in iman and a failure in sharia and a failure in society, socially as well. Now, We understand from the hadith itself, since it's recommended that we spread salam to spread love, that any act in Islam that will enhance love is recommended. And any act that diminishes love is prohibited. And you can consider that is a general theme in the Sharia. General theme in the Sharia, which will help you understand it and guide you through its individual rulings. Anything that will enhance love, recommended, commanded. The opposite, prohibited. So for instance, what is the stated reason behind prohibiting alcohol and gambling in the Quran? Right? Animosity between the believers. It spreads animosity. Right? So one of the advantages of people giving sadaqah and zakah is what? In addition to helping, but what is it also? Spreads a connection between people. Helping others, and we explained in a hadith before where the Prophet ﷺ said that the most beloved of people to Allah are the most beneficial to people. The most beloved of people to Allah are the people who are most beneficial to other people. So you understand here that the more beneficial you are, the more beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal. What does that do? It enhances the bond between people. It elevates their iman and brings them closer together. So the hadith states, you do this, Allah loves it. You do this, Allah loves it. Relieves their pain. You give them counsel. You guide them if they are lost. You assist them if they need help. All of these things are things that help other people. They enhance love, so they are recommended or are an obligation. Anything that is opposite than that, what is the problem with backbiting? What is the problem with gossiping? What is the problem with theft? It turns people against each other. So all that is prohibited. So this is a general theme in the Sharia that Allah Azza wa Jal makes it an obligation or recommended. If this brings love, then you do it. If it's not, then you have to stop it. So the believers must adopt as kind of an approach to life anything that will enhance love. Even if you are not conscious of the fact that this is halal or this is haram, this is right, this is wrong. But you're about to post something and you say, this is going to inflame the fires of, you know, nationalism. It's going to cause harm and discord. Should I post this? Should I say this? You have to ask yourself, even if at that moment you're not aware of halal and haram, right or wrong. But you say, my objective in life, it's kind of the operative concern is, I want to have Muslims love each other, not hate. Any act that you do, that you take, that fragments Muslims is forbidden. So even if what you're going to say is right, but at the wrong way or at the wrong time, right, you should withhold and don't speak until you're sure that you're saying it in the best of ways. Because you can speak the truth, but in ways that what? Are inflammatory, right? And then say to yourself, does Allah Azza wa Jalla love this? Or is causing more harm? And that harm is hatred between the believers. So any act, and you have to also put out fires. If people are fighting and there's hatred and it's going to spread, you know, put out that fire, but reminding them that they are brothers and sisters, reminding them that it's haram to hate each other, haram to gossip, and what this will lead to are consequences that are detrimental, not only in terms of social relations, but with your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal suffers. Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he talked about fasadu dhatil bayn, enmity, having sour, bad relations between people, he said, wa hiya al-haliqa, it will shave off religion. لا أقول تحلق الشعر ولكن تحلق الدين, removes all of religion. Because when you hate someone, what do? You start backbiting about them. That's a sin. Believing lies about them, spreading lies about them, and there is no limit to the terrible things that you would commit. Eventually, people could kill each other because of that hatred. That's why he said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, that it shaves off religion completely, removes all of taqwa. That is its danger. And that's why love is essential. So one of the things that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام recommended, and that is in this hadith, is salam, as a strong tool for spreading love. And of course we can say, if we want to expand this a little bit, good character in general, kindness, right? To be soft-spoken, to be helpful, to conceal people's mistakes, to worry about them, all of these things, if they enhance love, you understand it's recommended. Understand that Allah Azza wa Jal loves them. Salam in particular is mentioned in this hadith because it's one of the easiest things that you can do. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, and this hadith is on page 264. He said, As-salamu ismun min asma'illahi wada'ahu Allahu fil ardi fa'afshuhu baynakum. He said, As-salam is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He had placed on earth, so spread it among each other. And he said, he continues, إِنَّ رَجُلَ الْمُسْلِمَ إِذَا مَرَّ بِقَوْمٍ فَسَلَّمَ عَلَيْهِمْ فَرَدُّ عَلَيْهِ كَانَ لَهُ عَلَيْهِمْ فَضْلُ دَرَجَةٍ بِتَذْكِيرِهِ إِيَّاهُمُ السَّلَامِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَرُدُّ عَلَيْهِ رَدَّ عَلَيْهِ مَنْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُمْ وَأَطْيَبٌ. He says, a person would pass by a people and he would give them the salam and they will reply. And because of that, he will have a rank higher than them because he reminded them of salam. And if they don't reply, people or not, a company better than them will give him the reply, will reply and give back the salam. So think about it here. He's saying, alayhi salatu wasalam, first, what is as-salam in case we don't understand it? Is as-salam is the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, right? So when you're saying as-salamu alaykum, you're spreading the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's as if you are saying, may the name of Allah, which is as-salam, surround you and protect you. And you're also announcing through that I bring you no harm. I bring you only the best. So it's a declaration that, on my part, I have the best for you. But also, I'm making dua for you. As-salamu alaykum. May the name of Allah azza wa jal bless you, protect you, honor you, elevate you, all of that. And what is the name of Allah Azza wa Jal As-Salam? Who is the one who is free from imperfection, free from mistakes, the perfect. So salam, free of any deficiency. So may the one who is free of any deficiency also free you from any harm. So you're wishing them that. So you understand that greeting, As-Salam, is very unique. There is nothing that you can say that comes close to it. Because it has the name of who? Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's a dua. And especially if you continue, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, it's a dua. It's unparalleled when it comes to greetings. That's why you cannot be exchanged with anything else. So when you say As-Salamu Alaikum, you are mentioning Allah's name. So he's saying, alayhi salatu wasalam, if a person begins with As-Salam and he receives a reply, he is better because he started. He has a degree higher because he started. And he says, if it happens that for whatever reason they don't want to give him the salam back, he says there's a company that will give him the salam. And that company is better, and he says, خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُمْ وَأَطْيَبْ. They are better than them and what? And purer than them. And these are the angels of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that you don't feel distressed if you give people salam and they don't say it back. And you're saddened by it. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam wanted to tell you, no, there is an invisible reply from a company that is better than the company that just rejected you. So keep giving the salam. Don't stop. Keep giving the salam. And imagine the reply coming from the angels of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's a better reply because when you are receiving a salam, that's also a dua. And if it's coming from a company that is purer and better, then it's a better and better dua. And why do you receive that better dua? Because you had to strive against your own inclination and give them the salam, though you expect that they will not give it back. Okay? So that is a reward for the person who kind of disciplines his own ego, disciplines his own reactions, and said, as we said in the hadith, gives for Allah's sake, and withholds for Allah's sake. He doesn't say, I'm not going to give the salam because they don't give me the salam. They say, I'm going to give it to them. I will greet them with it, even if they don't give a reply. Even if they don't initiate it, I'll be the one who will give this because I want the best from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the beautiful thing about why salam spreads love is that Allah Azza wa Jal is behind it. Of course, there's kind of reasonable, common reasons why it spreads love. Yani when you greet someone or when you meet someone and they always say salam to you and they always smile and they always ask about you, won't you love them? Can you not love them? So it's natural, right, that when you say salam, that you're going to love that person who's giving that to you. Natural. So that's reasonable. But we're saying it, but it doesn't really just stop there. Because who's the one who commanded it? Allah Azza wa Jal. Who's the one who's behind it? Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah Azza wa Jal says about the Sahaba, وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. And he brought their hearts together. He's talking about the Sahaba. He brought their hearts together. He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ. He said, if you were to spend everything on earth, you will not be able to bring their hearts together. But Allah did it. To tell you that the bond that Allah creates and the love that He brings is stronger than anything that a human being can muster or can create or can develop. Much, much stronger. You can try to create love on your own. Like nations try to build solidarity based on common history and destiny. They're trying to create love, solidarity. Love the nation, love the flag, love the borders, love the language, love the food, love the cuisine, right? So that, what? You want to create a common destiny. But no matter what you try to do as a human being, it remains weak and shaky. You could break it, right? You could break it. Nations break, they fragment. But a love that Allah Azza wa Jalla had given, that's unbreakable. Unless you compromise iman. But as long as there is iman to fuel it and Allah is behind it, it's unbreakable. That's why Allah said, were you to spend everything, like you hire every PR firm, every sociologist, every psychologist, every professor, every philosopher, everyone, because that's what money means, right? You hire everybody to try to create that bond, you won't be able to. But Allah did it. So when you're saying salam, it's not just simply physical reasons that are spreading this love. It's actually Allah Azza wa Jal who's planting this love in the heart of the believers because you are doing it out of iman, out of love for Allah, out of love for the person and concern for them, and they do the same for you. So then the love between the believers would be great. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you know, and that's why it's really an intrinsic part of iman early on, very early in Medina, when somebody came and asked the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, أيُّ الإسلام خير? Which actions in Islam are best? So he said عليه الصلاة والسلام, تُطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ, you feed, meaning you feed people, وَتَقْرَأُ السَّلَامَ عَلَى مَنْ عَرَفْتَ وَمَنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفْ, and you greet whomever you know and whom you do not know with salam. See these two things. Because this is what you're able to give. And that's a hadith that was a question that was asked early on in Medina after Hijrah. What is the best? What are the best actions in Islam? It said you feed, you give people food. Right? Especially if they are in need, you give people food. Then what else? Because you could say, I don't have money. I don't know how to cook, etc., etc. He said, تَقْرَأُ السَّلَامَ عَلَى مَنْ عَرَفْتَ وَمَنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفْ. You greet people with salam, whether you know them or not. That's the condition. Because it's customary, right, for you to greet people that you know. And why do you greet people that you know? Or whom you know? Because you know them. Is that for Allah's sake necessarily? No. They expect that from you. You expect that from them. You want something from them. How many times, and we'll all do this by the way, you say assalamu alaikum simply because you want to jump to the next thing that you want to say to them. Assalamu alaikum, what about this, right? So you want something from them, so you proceed with salam. So the salam is there what to initiate a conversation, but the intention is, I want something from you. And you want something from me. Even if it's what? How are you doing? You just want a conversation. So I need something from you. But if you don't know the person, why are you giving them salam? It's only because of Allah Azza wa Jal, because you're not going to get anything from them. I don't know him. I may never meet him again. But you say, Assalamu alaikum. But ya akhi, I don't know you. Well, that's good. Because this is done then for Allah. I don't know the sister for the sisters. I don't know the sister. First time in the masjid. Or it's my first time in the masjid. Imagine how it is, right? If you enter a masjid, and imagine yourself in that, especially if you don't hop around masjids, but kind of you on a, you know, inhabit a, one particular masjid where people know you. Imagine you go to a new masjid, and you enter the masjid, and there are people there, and you enter. Nobody gives you salam. Nobody recognizes you. Nobody acknowledges you. You come in a stranger, you leave a stranger. What impact does that leave? No connection. Imagine if you were to enter that masjid and everybody gives you salam. And you feel immediately that you belong. No one knows you. No one knows your name yet. First time. But you feel that you really belong. Okay, everybody smiles and everybody's giving you salam. Imagine just the emotions that you're going to have. So this is the barakah of following the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, by giving that salam. عَرَفْتَ وَلَمْ تَعْرِفُ. Whether you know them or not, especially if you do not know them. Because he said alayhi salatu wasalam, and that hadith is on page 266, he says, بَيْنَ يَدَيِ السَّاعَةِ تَسْلِيمُ الْخَاصَّةِ. He says, just before the hour is salam between acquaintances only. بَيْنَ يَدَيِ السَّاعَةِ تَسْلِيمُ الْخَاصَّةِ. That is, before the day of judgment comes, you're going to have people who will give salam only to those who know each other. That's one of the signs of the day of judgment, right? One of the things that, okay, that world is about to end. What is it? Oh, people ignore you if they don't know you. Which is what we're doing today. We don't give salam unless we know the other person. You know, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam doesn't want you to live like this. Doesn't want you to practice your iman and Islam like that. Anyone that you see is someone who deserves salam from you. Right? And that should be done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'll give you a couple of examples, inshaAllah, from the companions. So, Al-Aghar, this is on page 267 to 268. Al-Aghar radiallahu anhu, he's a companion. So he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had designated a bunch of dates for me. And those dates were with the person from the Ansar. And he delayed giving them to me. So he wanted his dates, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had earmarked for him. He promised those dates for him. So he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, O Prophet of Allah, can you talk to him? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam deputized Abu Bakr. And he said, O Abu Bakr, in the morning, go with him and get him his dates. So Abu Bakr, he promised, he said to the man, let's meet at Fajr, after Fajr prayer. So he said, Al-Aghar, he said, I came in the morning and I found him as he promised me at Fajr prayer, where he had promised me. قَالَ فَانْطَلَقْنَا. So we head and we travel towards that person's house. So فَكَانَ كُلَّمَا رَأَى أَبُو بَكْرٍ رَجُلًا مِنْ بَعِيدٍ سَلَّمَ عَلَيْهِ. When Abu Bakr, whenever he would see a person from afar, he would give him salam. Be the first to do this. Then Abu Bakr told him, قَالَ أَمَا تَرَى مَا يُصِيبُ الْقَوْمُ عَلَيْكَ مِنَ الْفَضْلِ لَا يَسْبِقُكَ إِلَى السَّلَامِ أَحَدٍ. He says, don't you see how those people have gained more favors than you by preceding you with salam? Like everybody who's coming, they're giving you salam. So Abu Bakr gives it first, right? And they reply. But then they give that person the salam, they initiate the salam to him, and he gives them the reply. So Abu Bakr is telling him, see how many times now have you passed by people, they gave you salam first before you did, and how much favor they gained over you, let no one precede you to salam. لا يسبقك أحد إلى السلام. فَكُنَّا إِذَا طَلَعَ الرَّجُلُ مِنْ بَعِيدٍ بَدَرْنَاهُ بِالسَّلَامِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُسَلِّمَ عَلَيْنَا. So that now both of us, whenever we see a person from afar, we say salam first before he says it to us. And you understand that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, was eager to catch as many good deeds as possible, to compete for them, to reach out and get them. So he's saying here, radiallahu anhu, and he was teaching him, why are you wasting these rewards? Everybody who says it before you has gained favor over you. And it's not that you don't wish for people to have that, but why are you depriving yourself of all of this good? Be the one who proceed first to salam. So he says, that's what we did. And here's another example from Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu. He says, At-Tufayl ibn Ubay ibn Ka'b, he would come and visit Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu. And he would go with him to the marketplace. And the marketplace, imagine with me a traditional souq, a traditional marketplace, and how it looks. Maybe something similar to this. قَالَ فَإِذَا غَدَوْنَا إِلَى السُّوقِ, when we go early to the souq, Abdullah ibn Umar would not let anyone pass him by. Someone who is selling something expensive, someone who is selling something that is cheap, someone who is poor, but will give him salam. Everybody, right? As he passing by, along his way, he will give salam to everybody in the market. قَالَ الطُّفَيْلُ فَجِئْتُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنُ عُمَرَ يَوْمًا. So I came to visit Abdullah ibn Umar one of those days. He said, follow me to the market. So I told him, what are you doing in the market? Like, why do you go to the market? You don't want to buy anything. You're not asking about anything that people are selling. You're not bargaining. And you're not sitting in people's gatherings, which they have gatherings in that market. So you have no purpose to go. You don't want to buy. You don't want to sell. You don't ask about prices. You're not interested in the merchandise. You don't even want to sit with them and talk to them. Why do you keep going to the market like this? So he said, Ya Aba Batn. He said, that's kind of a nickname he had. He said, إِنَّمَا نَغْدُو مِنْ أَجْلِ السَّلَامِ نُسَلِّمُ عَلَى مَنْ لَقِينَ. He says, we head there because of salam, so that we would give salam to whomever we meet. So the trip that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu would take to the market wasn't to sell or buy, wasn't to shop or to pass time. What was it for? It's a densely populated area to give salam. Like it's a treasure for him. Just like coming to the masjid. So I'm going to come to the masjid, and you know what? In the women's area for the sisters, or for the brothers' area in the brothers, you know how many people are going to be there? I'm going to get salam, 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 salam to everybody. Right? Before, it's not like, you know what? If they're not going to give salam to me, I'm not going to give salam to them. Because that's not the attitude you have here. I'm not doing it only for your sake. Of course, I want the best for you, but I'm not motivated only by you. Because if I'm motivated only by you, I won't do it. Right? Because it's reciprocal. It's a sign of disrespect. Why is it that I'm older than you, you should give me salam? Or I always give it. Why don't you do that to me? Do you like me less? Do you respect me less? And then the whispers of the shaitan, right? Enter your head. But if your motivation is, I don't care about what they give back or if they give anything back, what I care about is Allah Azza wa Jal and their benefit, and I want to remind them of Allah, and I want to get Allah's reward, I'll say salam to everybody, right? Before they do that to me. And you'll see how the dynamics change. And the person who is sour and reluctant and, you know, bitter and turns and becomes a different person. Because you are gracious and forgiving. You can change them. But you could allow bitter people to make you bitter when they say, I'm not giving salam to you because you do that to me. Fine, I'll do the same. And bitterness spreads. And that's not what the Prophet wants. Imagine, even in the houses of Allah Azza wa Jal, you come in and this person is not talking to that person. This person is angry with that person. But rather, if you want to show iman, and you want to show what? Humility. Because you know it takes a lot of humility for a person to be the person who always says salam to people. They're not egotistical. They're not the center of attention. They're not proud. I'll say salam, why not? So when you discipline yourself, when you humble yourself, when you're close to Allah Azza wa Jal, when Allah matters more than your own self, then salam can be easy. Salam could be great. And it's one of the easiest things, right, to do. So here is what the Prophet ﷺ wanted us to do. What is it that you want? This salam is a key to Jannah. And being something verbal, it's one of the easiest things that you could do. Because you adopt it right now. And because it's not financial, you're not losing anything. If someone were to tell you, give a dollar every time you come to every person you meet, you'll stop coming to the masjid. Right? Because I don't want to lose money. But you're not going to lose salam, will you? Salam alaikum, salam alaikum, salam. I have as many salams as you want from me. You're not losing anything. So it's easy to adopt. You lose nothing. But you consider that, and you consider Jannah at the end. Because if you do this, there's going to be love. The foundation of love will be established. And if you love each other, it's going to bolster your iman. And if it increases your iman, it increases your chances to enter Jannah, escape from hellfire, and be in the highest ranks. So this is what the Prophet ﷺ said. And he began it as he began the last hadith. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. I swear by the one who has my soul in his hand. Meaning you really should believe this. You know, even if you don't understand how it really works, how long it's going to work, it take to work, how it changes people, how it going to get me into Jannah. You don't get it, you don't have to get it. You just have to believe him. And he's telling you, you do this, then the next few steps will follow. So let's try to adopt this with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not people, increasing our iman, entry into Jannah, reminding people of who Allah is, and bringing benefit to them. So if that's the case, you'll naturally love people, and naturally your iman will increase, bi'idhnillah azza wa jal. So we'll stop here, bi'idhnillah azza wa jal. And let me know if there's anything you would like to ask or would like to add, inshallah. Go ahead. Alaykum salam. No. It is, according to this hadith, right? It is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and it's, one, it's more honorable, more blessed when you think about it that way. Now, the other one, which is peace be with you, they've taken it from peace. And what does peace mean? Peace mean, if you want to say salam, absence of hostility, just that salam. Salam is absence of hostility, absence of harm. So they thought if you say salamun alaykum, for instance, there is that meaning is embedded, as we said, right? Because it's an announcement that because I'm bringing the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla is salam, you're also free of any harm that is going to come from me. That's what the word peace is. Peace is the absence of harm. So that's an announcement. So when you say peace be upon you, what do you mean by it? You mean that I don't intend to harm you. You'll only get peace from me. So when you're saying as-salam, which is the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, that's embedded in it. But the fuller, more perfect meaning is that it's the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. Go ahead. Okay, so what is the difference, she's saying, between izzatun nafs, which is have self-dignity? So what is the difference between izzatun nafs, kind of having dignity, and having kibr, which is pride? So dignity means that you don't accept oppression, you don't accept humiliation, you don't accept injustice. Because that's what the Sahaba were, right? So they will. If there's any injustice, they will have izzatun nafs. They don't want to be oppressed. They don't want to receive injustice. They can forgive if they have power, right? Like they will have power and they will forgive, but they don't want to tolerate injustice or humiliation. So that's the difference. Whereas kibir, right? It's a false status that one assigns to himself, where he thinks he's better than other people. So it's an embellishment, an exaggeration. But izzatun nafs is that somebody wants to insult you, you don't accept it. Somebody wants to take what is yours and you don't accept it. Violate your rights and you don't accept it. Put you down and you don't accept it. That's izzah. Pride is that I'm better than you. I'm smarter than you, right? You don't deserve what you have. I deserve it. That's the difference. So that's the line. Wallahu a'lam. So how can you get yourself to love people more? So the easiest thing is salam, right? If you don't even want to think about it, just keep giving people salam, right? So that's one of the easiest things. Also, if you want to think about it, kind of this requires some tadabbur, some contemplation, is to know that, okay, this person who is a believer, who is a Muslim, doesn't Allah love him? At some, you know, level, even if they are the worst of people, but as long as they have Iman and Islam in them, doesn't Allah Azza wa Jalla love them in proportion to the Iman and Islam that they have? You must say yes. Shouldn't I also love them for that sake as well? So this is when you say to yourself, I should surrender so that I would love what Allah loves. So Allah loves all those who have Iman, then I should love them as well. And in one way or another, they are obedient to Allah. They will defend him. They will defend Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. They will defend the Quran. They will do this. Isn't this is something that you should love in them? And if you think about them, despite all the bad things, you know, that they may have done, even if they have wronged you, but this person, they have to struggle with their own weaknesses, with their own demons, not like actual demons, but like, you understand what I'm saying, their own addictions, their own frailties, and also actual demons. They have to struggle with the whispers of the shaitan. So everything is against them, and all the fitan of the dunya is against them. Don't you feel sorry for them? Like you feel sorry for yourself, right? With all the things that you have to endure. So when you feel like that towards them, it's easier to love them. So it requires two things. One, on a mental, right, an emotional level, to think, okay, and see that there are commonalities between us and that they are still worshippers of Allah Azza wa Jal. And on the physical level, you do things that will enhance that love. So you give them salam, you make dua for them, a lengthy dua for them. You give them, and we'll get to some of these things. You give them gifts, you will honor them, you be kind to them. Even if at that moment you don't really feel like it, but you strive, and the feelings will change as a consequence. So this is how, inshallah, you can begin. Okay. Is it allowed to say salam to the opposite sex? So this is more of a fiqh question. So if there is no fitna, then you're allowed to, right? If there is no fitna. So when typically is there a fitna? If you're individuals, one male to a female, one female to a male, right? And there is kind of the age is close, or both of them could desire each other. So she's not really old or he's not really old. So when there's the possibility of fitna, you wouldn't say salam to each other. But if you have a group of males and there is a single female, or a group of one male and a group of females, they can say salam to each other, because fitna diminishes then. He can say salamu alaykum to a group of females. The Prophet ﷺ did that. Okay? Or one female to a group of males, right? Because it's not directed at one person. And there is no solitude, there's no khalwa. So when there's the absence of fitna, you can do this, right? Or a very old man or a very old woman, then you can do this. But if there is possibility of fitna, it's better to be safe, so you wouldn't say salam. You pass each other, you see each other, you wouldn't say salam to each other, right? Yeah. Yeah. Depending on the context, so it happens like somebody gives you the salam like this, right? Are you in a kind of public space, or are you alone? Public space. If a public space, write that. I mean, you could, it's a judgment call, right? You could just reply very faint, with a very faint sound, and keep walking, right? In a sense, okay, you did say salam, but not audible enough for him to know it, and for him also to realize that, well, I may have done something inappropriate here. So he will not repeat it. But I'm afraid that if it is audible and he hears it, the next time he's going to give salam again, right? So reply, but to yourself, and keep walking. In the back and in the front. Go ahead. Okay, so you want to initiate salam, you say to a non-Muslim, assalamu alaikum. Okay, so initiating salam can only happen to Muslims. Assalamu alaikum. The reply here, you have the scholars disagree a little bit here. So if a non-Muslim gives you salam, he says assalamu alaikum, what do you do? So some scholars have said, you say wa alaikum. And some scholars have said, if you know that they have actually, you could hear that they have said assalamu alaikum, you would say wa alaikum assalam. And the distinction here happens because some of the people of the book at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? They, instead of saying assalamu salam, okay, they say assam. Okay, wassam means death. So they play with that word so that they would be saying death be on you or death for you. So the Prophet ﷺ, he would say to them what? And on you or and for you. So that in case if they were saying salam, they get salam back. If they're saying death, they get that back. Whatever you say, I'm not investigating, goes back to you. So some of the ulama, I think it's like Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said that if you're sure that what they're saying is as-salam, you can say wa alaykum as-salam. So that's what I would recommend. You have a Muslim, and they don't know Arabic, right? And say, assalamu alaikum, you say, wa alaikum assalam. But to begin a non-Muslim with assalam, this is reserved for Muslims. Yeah. I'm sorry, repeat that, I couldn't hear you. So I'm trying to remember, and I think, and maybe I should have kind of included this there, that when Allah Azza wa Jal, and you can go back to that hadith kind of for confirmation, when Allah Azza wa Jal created Adam alayhi salam, he said, go and greet those angels and see what they will reply. And he went and he said, assalamu alaikum, and they said, wa alaikum assalam, and he said, this is the greeting of you and your progeny, right? And actually, you remind me of something else, which is that the Prophet ﷺ said, he says, مَا حَسَدَتْكُمُ الْيَهُودُ مَا حَسَدَتْكُمْ عَلَى شَيْئَيْنِ السَّلَامُ وَالتَّأْمِينِ. He said, the Jews envy you for two things the most, which is salam and the saying of ameen. So one of them is as-salam. And you understand why anybody would envy you for it, because they understand how valuable that thing is. They don't have it. Even though right now, maybe among some circles among them, they will say that. But I am willing kind of to, I really believe that they've took it from Muslims. Because the Prophet ﷺ, when he said, they envy you for it, it means that they don't have it. And they understand how valuable it is that Allah had kind of favored you with this. Or maybe they had it and lost it, but Allah had favored you with this and you still hold on to it. That's such a valuable thing. You make dua for each other. And Allah blesses you because of it. And you actually love each other because of that. Allah eliminates hatred because of it, which is they don't have. And the other thing is saying ameen. And when someone with knowledge envies you about something, it tells you how valuable that thing is. So hold on to it because it is valuable. Okay, so no more online questions. Okay, طيب إن شاء الله. تفضل yes. Okay, so saying salam to the house in the household, even if it is empty. So you're asking about it? Right, so some scholars, and they think this is based on a weak hadith, then when they say, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin, is this what you're referring to? Na'am. So some scholars have recommended, and this is based on a weak hadith, because there's no one at home, that you would say, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin, or he's saying, you would say, As-salamu alaykum. Now, if you want to follow that particular opinion based on that particular weak hadith, I mean, I'm not gonna stand against you, but there's no one at home. So who are you saying salam to? Right? So I afham, عندي يعني فهمت نقطتك, لكن لا يوجد أحد في البيت، يعني لا يوجد أحد في البيت، اعتمادا على حديث ضعيف. تفضل. نعم. الفرق بينهم. جزاك الله خير. So what is the difference between saying assalamu alaikum and saying assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh? Of course, the most complete one, al-akmal, that you would say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith 30. And Allah azza jal writes 30 good deeds for you when you complete the salam. So that's the complete one. Assalamu alaikum gets you 10. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah gets you 20. So if you want the fullest salam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And when once you receive that, you have to reply with an equal or a better salam. So somebody gives you Assalamu alaikum, the minimum is wa alaikum assalam or alaikum assalam. Someone says Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, what is the minimum? Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. If he adds wa barakatuh, you must include wa barakatuh in the complete salam. So that فَحَيُّ بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّهَا. Say something better or at least that reply with the same. Jazakallah khair. That's a good question. Are you sinful if someone gives you salam and you don't reply? Yes. Because the reply is an obligation. Right? A lot of the scholars have said initiating the salam is a sunnah. The reply is a must. So if you fail, now if he gives you salam, so take a couple of scenarios. He gives you salam to you, one to one. So the salam is an obligation on you because you've received it. So you have to give it back. I'm in a group. He or they give salam to us. It's sufficient that one replies. That's enough as a minimum. One replies. So this is fard, but it's on the group because they received it as a group. But if I receive it as an individual, I must also reply as an individual. Naam, if they've given this to the congregation, they've come in and given the congregation one person, because it's he's giving it to the group. So if some one person says wa alaykum assalam, that is sufficient. Inshallah. Yeah. Tafadhal. Walaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So, okay, how do we deal with the wudu area? How do we deal with salam in the wudu area? Is sometimes it's separated from the washroom and sometimes it is not, right? So if they are separated and they're marked separation, then the wudu area is a separate area. So you deal with the wudu area as a wudu area. So you can give salam and you can give it back, right? So you're fine, inshallah. If they are not separated, okay, which is something that is kind of novel and new, for Muslims, right? They didn't build things like that previously. So some scholars have said you don't utter Allah's name because it's a mixed area and the washroom is there. That is one opinion. And the other opinion say, you know, it's a mixed area. So the area where it's prohibited to utter Allah's name is that particular area, that is the toilet. But if you move to the other area, you're doing something else distinct from the other. So you are allowed to utter Allah's name there. So for instance, in wudu, you can say Bismillah, right? So some will say, you don't say Bismillah because it's common and you say it in your heart. And some say, do you do say Bismillah? Because that's an area for wudu designated for it. That's another area designated for the other business. So if it's distinct, like for instance, an area that you have here in this in the masjid, you would say, Salaamu alaikum to people, right, who are making wudu, because the area is separate. Okay? Okay? Anything else? Oh, one more. If both don't give salam, is that a sin? So if both of them don't give salam because they hate each other, they have boycotted each other, they're not talking to each other, it's a sin. They sin because of it. So this person does it and this person doesn't. And they're not. It's because they're not talking. Because otherwise, why are they not giving salam to each other? If the motive behind it is that we are not speaking, and they're not, they're at ill terms with each other, then yes, that is a sin. If they simply just fail to say salam, it's bad manners. If it's simply it's a failure, this person doesn't, and this person, then it's bad manners, because that's not how a Muslim is supposed to behave. But it's just if they're angry with each other, then they do sin because of that. Allahu a'lam. Okay, I just want to make sure everybody got to ask their questions. طيب بارك الله فيكم ونسيو إن شاء الله next week بإذن الله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك واتوب إليك والحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.